This program aired originally in 2016.
Look up your chimney. The sky ain't blue. It's kinda yellow. You know it's true.
Oh, friends, you're listening to the Traveling Wilburys there, yeah. That's Bob Dylan. See him over there, the fuzzy head guy? He's got a little beard on. And George Harrison, in spirit, George Harrison's sitting over there with them. He's one of the great guys there. This is 21st Century Radio. I'm the alleged Dr. Bob Hieronymus, a lowly PhD, hanging out in this part of the universe, megaverse, so many ultimate. There's a lot of terms for various universes we're in these days. And the engineers tonight, it takes two engineers to run this show, friends. We run them off the rails. Noah Dankner and Charlie Hines. Yep, they're getting up to about 650 miles an hour, moving down the track here. And we just look out going around the curves, because that's where we have a few problems. Our guest is Sarah Taft, who's straightening us out. We're getting all straightened out here, friends. Especially in regards to Mary Magdalene, Shaman, Awakening to the Indigenous Christian Soul, published by Create Space Independent Publishing Platform, sarahtaft.com. Yes, indeed, sometime in about 20 so minutes or so, maybe a little longer than that, we'll be giving away a copy of her book. And you can see an example of her artwork, the Ouroboros and the Lily, on the front page of 21stcenturyradio.com. Let's take a look at that little painting here. Sarah, tell us about this painting you have done for us that we put on our website. You've did it just for us, though. Right?
I just did it because it was a meditation. And my art basically has been what has healed me. I think it's the way I've taken in and integrated all of this into my own life. And so the paintings are kind of my scripture in a way. Mm-hmm. I can remember her. I feel her. I've painted her in different places, but this one with the snake, the Ouroboros eating its tail. I've titled it Deep Peace, and it has a sense of completion and a rebirth in it, and that's what the Ouroboros is about.
What does the lotus symbolize?
It's the flower that comes out of the mud. I mean, it grows from the depths, you know. Mm-hmm. It grows in muddy landscapes.
Yeah, murky, yeah.
And so, you know, when we do enter our own souls, we have to go through the mud, because there's usually soul is earthy, and it has things that we don't know are there. Mm-hmm. And so when we bring them up and bring them to the light, then they bloom. They bloom in us, and they help other people, too. I mean, that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't do any kind of a spiritual journey for ourselves. We do it for other people as well.
Well, I'm going to go take you back to Australia just a little bit more here, because in Australia, you learned something about your health.
I learned that I was sick. Mm-hmm. There. That's where I discovered that I was ill.
How did
When I was out there with the Aboriginals, I just could tell something was wrong with me. And so when I came back, I had to go to the doctor and find out what was going on, and I was shocked. So,
what were you shocked by?
I was shocked that I had to have a transplant.
Of your liver?
They said if you don't have one, you could be gone. So it was stunning for me. And so it was like the prophecy in the original reading that I had, you know, had shown itself in a very dramatic way that I would have to face. Now, the interesting thing about it is that kind of information helped me surrender to the whole thing, and I just had faith. If this was about finding out who I was, then I was going to be at the most cooperative, faithful And I just went along with everything that they told me to do, and I just healed so well, and I had so many prayers and people helping me. I found out about what, you know, I think what changed there, I thought, if I can get a liver, God loves me. God really loves me. It changed me forever.
Now, how did that come about? You did receive a liver from a 16-year-old boy.
Yes.
And obviously this is, could you tell us that story as to how this came? Because you really didn't know you were going to get it till the really like the last second.
No, I didn't. I mean, I prayed I was going to get it, and I, you know, all these things had happened, like I'd found the, you know, the stone, and there were indications, there were clues. That's another thing that the shaman does. They look for clues around them in nature, mm-hmm. and they can intuit things that are going to happen or what can be helpful or harmful. So in that way, I myself am very shamanic, very intuitive. And so,
you're a Virgo.
I'm a Virgo.
Isn't that right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's why.
I had to overcome a lot of self-destructive criticism.
Well, that's great. I'm a Virgo too, and so let's just join the club of being self-destructive, because nothing is rougher on a Virgo than a Virgo. I mean,
I know. There's nobody that can say more harmful things to themselves.
You know, when you're creating something, and it can be so beautiful, but there may be one little mistake, and our eye goes to it, and you see that error, and you just can't see the forest for the trees. That's what I do not like.
I know
about being a Virgo. Oh,
well,
boy.
You know, the other thing about Virgo is it rules discipleship.
Yes.
It rules being a good apprentice to a master or to, so any time you're doing something like that, you're involved with Virgo. I know my astrologer friend, he used to say, Virgo is the hand of the world. It turns the wheel.
And I liked also what they said about, and you said about Capricorns.
It builds the world.
Yeah, Capricorns, you know, and they are extraordinary.
They do. They build
builders.
The world. They build structures.
As you call it, the archetypal builder of new worlds. New worlds.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so that's really interesting, because the Capricorn coming, especially this was just before Aquarius, there's a story that goes linked. Well, I'm not going to get into that. I'm sorry, but I love your interest in astrology, especially from the archetypal standpoint.
Yes.
And not necessarily from predicting, but
no,
from the,
no, I'm not interested in that. Sometimes I check and people ask me and I say, well, you know, we'll see what happens there, but this is the timing. You know, the difference between going to a psychic and an astrologer. Astrologer can give you a timeline. They can say, well, in 3 months, this looks like this is not going to be so hard anymore. Mm-hmm. Or these are the lessons you need to learn right now.
Yeah.
So I think the whole journey has just shown me that you need to be responsible for yourself. And this really builds character when it's done right.
Well, especially when you have a good character like yourself. What did you learn about the 16-year-old boy who died to give you your liver?
Well, I learned he'd been shot, and that was really hard to know that he lost his life that way. It's still not clear. I mean, the story is that two other Hispanic guys came in a car and shot him. So I don't know if someone was watching from a house. But in the police report, it was indicated that he was shot. So, you know, I just, very, very sad. And I just, you know, I went down there later to the street and watched, went to the area, and I saw all these little Hispanic kids with their moms walking along. I thought, I just did the same thing with my kids, and they what happened to the boy that he got in so much trouble? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Very, very sad.
And you seem to have some, well, at least you have then from then on after you received his liver, you had kind of like a partnership with him.
Yeah, I do. I have a significant other. He keeps me alive.
And he brought you some young energy.
Yes, he did. He did. And the other night I had a dream that suggested that I had a young energy in me hiding under my bed, because I'm old now. So it'll give me energy to keep painting Lady Liberty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lady Liberty. She's one of our favoritest. As a matter of fact, one of the things that eventually is going to come out sooner or later is that, you know, guys that are running for the Republican nominee for president, they are not happy about Lady Liberty. They've attacked her a number of times. As a matter of fact, some of the teachers there teach her that they call her the Whore of Babylon.
Well, that's insane.
It is insane.
What happened to... What? That is insane.
Well...
You know, who's saying these things? I don't know about that.
Well, the teachers of Ted Cruz Perry, who was also the governor of Texas. Texas especially is one of those states that really do not like separation of church and state. They really have tried to revolt and take Texas out of the United States in the past, and they are not going to stop. I'm amazed that the media doesn't talk to them about this.
I haven't heard about this, but I think that there's a lot of the very, very right-wing Christian movement is very, very rigid about a lot of things. They're not open-minded. So, but my thinking about Lady Liberty and Mary Magdalene is that Lady Liberty, to actually fulfill what she says in her statement about welcoming people and foreigners and helping everyone, that takes compassion. And so I think that good Christians should look at this and say, you know, am I being compassionate in how I treat foreigners or how I treat somebody that's different than me?
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to have liberty. It takes work.
Oh, yes, yes.
It takes work. It's not a given. And I think there are conditions, and I think the biggest condition is having compassion for people who are different. But I think she also holds clear vision of what's possible for people.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Magdalene is the energy that helps with the vision, the imagination, and the emotional connection to what you most desire.
Now, there's a color connection, too, isn't there? The red?
No, I don't know. I mean, Magdalene is usually depicted in red.
Red.
And I think that's the passion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the paintings I've seen of her at the foot of Christ on the cross, she's in red. And, you know, Mother Mary is usually in blue.
That's right. That's right.
But, you know, when you look at the structure of the Lady Liberty, she has a very strong spine that runs up the middle of her that was designed by the fellow that did the
Eiffel Tower. Yeah.
And yet her skirt and all of the clothing she has on is only like a quarter of an inch thick. It's very thin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting.
Have you been to the Statue of Liberty?
Yes. Yes.
What?
I have.
What a joyful place. When we went, there was just literally so much joy. The people that were seeing her, I mean, it is most unusual. It wasn't anything like people being bored or anything like that, but it was really genuine enthusiasm, and I think it had a lot to do with the goddess.
Yes.
The protector, because she is, you know, she is...
She is the goddess of the United States.
Correct. You know, she's a pretty big one too, 151 mm-hmm. feet tall, and I think that's one of the biggest we've ever had.
Yeah, she's magnificent. Well, she brings hope. I mean, she is the symbol of hope.
And that's why I get terribly upset when I call and think when I have to deal with individuals who actually do believe that she is satanic, and that she is here to dupe the American people.
Well, you know something? I think so much of that is projection. You know,
Of course. You just want a free trip to Bermuda, and a carton of Live. You ever had any Live drinks? Live? No. Well, anyway, I think most importantly, when you take a look at this situation in regards to the goddess at this particular time, as I've said before, I believe our need for her now is greater than ever. Period.
I know, because we're tipping over.
Yes, we're
tipping over.
Yeah, yeah. We're out of balance to begin with, because males and females here really aren't equal yet. And that's got to happen. It's really got to happen
It's a slow process, though, and I think we have to be patient, because it takes time to get over old habits.
That's true.
Habits of thinking.
And here's a habit that never ends. It never ends. We got to take a break here on 21st Century Radio. It's Rules and Regulations of the Penal Code 507. And we never break those rules and regulations, especially with our guest, Sarah Taft. She wouldn't allow me to break any rules and regulations. Right, Sarah? No. Okay. Book is Mary Magdalene, Shaman, Awakening to the Indigenous Christian Soul. You know what I was surprised to learn when studying the Statue of Liberty? That liberty for real women is the key to humanity's survival on this planet. Truly. And also that Lady Liberty has Native American roots, and that America has reverence for the female half of divinity, or the goddess, at its very foundation. Powerful women and role models for balance are all part of our new book, The Secret Life of Lady Liberty, Goddess in the New World. It's a new way to understand America's history and future. Buy your copy today at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, or from our website, SecretLifeOfLadyLiberty.com. That's SecretLifeOfLadyLiberty.com, just chock full of all new reasons to love the United States of America.
Hi, this is Dr. Jean Shinoda Bolan. I am a Jungian analyst, an author, and an advocate for a United Nations fifth NGO World Conference on Women, and the author of Goddesses in Every Woman and Like a Tree. And I've just been interviewed on 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus, and we have covered the waterfront, from contemporary to archetypal to activism to all kinds of things. I think you will enjoy the program. I can be found at www.jeanbolan.com.
That's Aunt Jean. Aunt Jean, yes, the book is done. Aunt Jean, almost. She's been waiting for this book. Well, we've been waiting for it for 5.5 years, so she can wait for it for 5.5 years as well. Our guest is Sarah Taft. And she's been waiting for 5.5 years for our book, too. And her book is Mary Magdalene, Shaman, Awakening to the Indigenous Christian Soul, and sarataft.com. And again, you can see an example of her artwork, the Ouroboros. By the way, I have about 5 Ouroboroses in the Apocalypse mural.
Do you?
Yes. I got one of them that's about 20... some feet. I kid you not. I'll send you a propaganda on it. You'll be able to, see it.
I'd love to see it.
Well, you will. But one of the things I did want to note, Do you know that Exxon hasn't even paid for what they did up there in Valdez? You haven't paid for that? They were originally fined $5 billion. Then the Republican Supreme Court cut that down to $2.5 billion. And then the Republican Supreme Court cut it down to $50 million. They were fined originally $5 billion. Now the Supreme Court has made sure that they're only going to have to pay $50 million. But guess what? They still haven't finished the cleanup, and they still haven't paid the bill. Isn't that something? I'll tell you what it is. It's just plain greed. I mean, they're the...
Yes, it is.
Just amazing. Yes. And we have in our state certain areas that are there whose homes have been destroyed by Exxon the product, and yet that still has not been totally taken care of. And this goes on for decades.
Yeah, it's very, very, it's destructive, and it's unconscious, and it's awful. It's just terrible. I'm using very good words on that, but it's just awful.
Well, it is. It's as bad as what the heck is. Unfortunately, poor Oklahoma fell into that trap of fracking. They're just having themselves ripped up, totally. It's just amazing what's happened to them. And where are the apologies? Where are our politicians? They still don't want to say that there's anything wrong with fracking. They'll wait till these people just die and get blown away. Wow. Okay. Excuse me. I don't get excited about anything, as you can well see right now. Yeah, you really didn't want to write this story. You had to be kind of convinced to do it, right?
Yeah, I did.
Why?
I did.
Why didn't you want to write it?
Well, first of all, I've never written a book before, so I wasn't so sure how I would do. And I don't know. You could say I was lazy. Maybe I was lazy. I don't know if that's true. Not really. I'm not a lazy person.
No,
but
you're not. Oh.
I think that sharing my own story on paper is I'll tell you, one of the things that I know about liberty is that when you do something that you think that you can't do or it's hard, and you do it, then you feel her spirit. Mm-hmm. When you do something that's hard, and sometimes even when you go against all the fear, I mean, I think that's what she offers. I mean, that's what this country offers, is to take a step, take a risk, and live the life that God gave you fully.
Mm-hmm. Walk the walk.
Yeah.
And talk.
And, you know, I think that Mary Magdalene, her gift to us is that she touched the hem of his garb, and she brings us to our humanity through her feminine wisdom.
So Mary Magdalene is your role model. Is that correct?
Yes.
So have you been behaving yourself?
I'm trying.
You and I have talked about this before. You got to straighten yourself out one way or the other. Tell
me. Like the backbone, like the will. You mm-hmm. see the strong pole that goes up through this, you know, the Statue of Liberty, and that's her will.
Oh, that's a very interesting point, because when you go in there, it's so much different than seeing it from the outside, I'll tell you.
I know. I mean, I think it takes our will directed properly to have freedom. And if we lose the will to overcome our difficulties or to accept our responsibilities for things that go wrong and we continue to play victim, we don't have much.
Well, we lose our freedom, and because freedom isn't free.
It's not.
You've got to focus on it. Now, I love your dreams. You have a real good time when you hit the sack there. Now, tell us about the dream of the turtle.
Oh, my gosh.
This is really important. Please, you got to get all the details on this one in there.
Okay, well, I think I had it before I went to Australia, but it feels like it could have happened in Australia. There's a huge turtle, like one of those Galapagos turtles, mm-hmm. and it's up kind of on a hill, and the hill kind of goes down, and there's a man on the top of the hill that pushes the turtle down the hill, and it rolls and rolls, and finally it settles at the bottom of the hill on its back, and it cannot turn over. It keeps wiggling its legs and trying to rock back and forth, and it cannot right itself. So finally, I think it gets tired, and it turns around in its shell, and it makes its legs go down to the earth, and it navigates on the earth upside down. And so I asked several people about this dream because it haunted me. It was a huge dream, and I could relate to being stuck many times in my life. I've had a lot of difficulties that I've had to overcome. And so my Conrad, my shaman guy, he said, well, Sarah, the turtle in all the shamanic lore is the center of the universe. I think in India they build their country on the back of the turtle. But anyway, so he said, since it's upside down, you're seeing the world. The world is in control of you. And it was like magic when he said that. And I thought, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So the world was controlling me rather than the spirit. I wasn't able to really get to my spirit.
But you did eventually.
Eventually.
you didn't stop.
I didn't stop. No, I'm persevering.
That's a Virgo again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you able to see the forest for the trees?
I could see it, and then I couldn't accomplish it, and then I would really get hard on myself.
Mm-hmm. You're very hard on yourself.
Yeah, I was pretty hard on myself. And so it took time, and it takes maturity. And it also took the transplant, because I had to remind myself after the transplant, I thought, my work isn't over just because I'm alive. I have to remember that I'm a child of God, and I'm loved. And then a lot of the stuff just kind of gets out of your way. Your fear goes away, and you have a faith that's living.
You had so many teachers, mentors, helpers, friends, coming from all different parts of the world. You had a very important, one practitioner who was truly understood Mayan, and he related to you that everything comes from the turtle. It's the totality of the physical world. And as you said, since you were upside down, you were being controlled by it. Native Americans, as you well know, call North America Turtle Island.
They do?
Yep, that's our Turtle Island. As a matter of fact, because I enjoyed your book so much, I'm sending you a copy of my book, one of them, Founding Fathers Secret Societies, which talks about the League of the Iroquois women, and I'm sure you know about these individuals who created a democratic republic in the United States in 1142 A.D.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
People don't talk about that either.
Well, we've been yapping about it for decades, making a lot of people uncomfortable. And every time when I'm asked to do a show on History Channel or Discovery or National Geographic or whatever it is, I keep asking them, I want to talk about the League of the Iroquois Indians. And they say, shut up and talk about the founding fathers instead. And I said, well, they were our founding fathers, and we need to discuss this, but they won't allow me to do it. And that really makes me unhappy.
And they're a good example of indigenous wisdom.
Indeed they are.
That is the indigenous wisdom soul actually was the founder of our country.
Well, our indigenous wisdom right now tells us we need to take another break. And I believe after the break, we get to give away a copy of this important book called Mary Magdalene, Shaman Awakening to the Indigenous Christian Soul. SarahTaft.com. And again, you can see example of her artwork, the Ouroboros and Lily, on the front page, 21stCenturyRadio.com. You should be storing food and water. It can't hurt. Buy a few extra cans of food, a few extra bottles of water every time you go to the grocery store, and you won't even feel it in your food budget. Stock up on enough to last you and your family for at least 2 weeks. And while you're at it, make sure you have a non-electric source of heat and enough fuel to last at least 2 weeks. As Maryland Senator Barbara Mikulski wrote to us after we sent her a mini library of books on survival, quote, "I'm going to have quite a lot of reading to do in the next few weeks, and anything on survival will be useful." For more tips, order our Journal 17 or visit www.theepicenter.com.
Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. Karen Tate. I'm the author of Goddess Calling, Inspirational Messages and Meditations of Sacred Feminine Liberation Theology, and the radio show host of Voices of the Sacred Feminine Radio on Blog Talk. My website is www.karentate.com. And you've been listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus. I hope you'll read my books and discover why the spirituality of the sacred feminine is today's new liberation theology, setting us free from the domination and exploitation of patriarchy, and how that patriarchy has kept women and men from achieving their fullest potential.
Yeah, that's right. I agree with her. I agree with just about everybody when it comes to this particular area. It took me a long time to grow up, you know.
Yeah, it takes time. It really does.
There's nothing like, yeah. Now, look, okay. I wanted to read part of a paragraph from your book, okay? Am I allowed to read aloud?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here it goes. This is on page 164, and we touched a little bit on this, but I want to emphasize it in a different way when I come back. You note, many people are weeping now. Their world has crumbled with the entrance of Pluto into the worldly and earthly sign of Capricorn until 2024. Whoa, Pluto and Capricorn, wow. Uh-huh. The world is in store for some cataclysmic transformation. What doesn't have integrity will die. What is not in sync with natural law will buckle and break. What is not sustainable will not endure. These deaths will serve the greater purpose of reconstruction, period. Capricorn is the archetypal builder of new worlds. Perhaps it is a time for all of us to weep ourselves into a new form and open to our own shamanic journey and experiential path of emergence. Experiential path of emergence. And remember what Dr. Sarah Taft told us a little bit earlier about the importance of experience in regards to shamanism. It's not a book that you just sit around and read. You have to experience it. It's Rules and Regulations 507 of the Penal Code. You can get locked up for life. Is that a life? I think it is a life. You will be thrown in jail for life if you don't pay attention to this. Now, I am surrounded by Capricorns. Are you aware of that?
No.
It's true.
Well, they probably help you. I mean, Capricorn
probably.
And Virgo like one another.
Well, Nick, I'll tell you, if I weren't surrounded with them, I'd be in deep trouble. Deep trouble. They know how to plan. They know how to get something going when it's sitting still. And they know how to look out for things. And they are some of the hardest workers on the planet.
I know.
How do you know that?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
I know some that are just magnificent people.
Yeah, I know you know some.
Magnificent people. Yeah.
And what a difference that makes from that standpoint. Now, I think
one of the most positive ways of looking at what's going on today, because it's really quite fearful for many, is that it's breaking down to let new light come through the cracks. I mean, that's how the shamanic world works with difficulties. They see the cracking is the conditions that were put in place a long time ago, and that they call them incrustations, and that when the shaman works on this, the incrustations start to fall away, and the light begins to emerge. I think that's one of the reasons they called Mary Magdalene the light.
Yeah.
So it's a really very propitious time to problem solve and come up with new ideas of how to do things.
Well, I needed to ask you this before, and you made me forget it. You made me forget this. So I'm holding you responsible for this, Sarah.
I'll take it.
All right. I know you can take it. You're pretty tough. What is meant by Christianity is a story of emergence.
Yes. Well, it's really, I mean, this is something that my teacher, Conrad, has insisted upon. He said it's not a birth and death. People look at it that way. But in the death is the emergence of something new. It's like when the rose bush dies, it doesn't go anywhere. It's right there, but it's just going to, it takes a while before the new flower comes through. So death feels very final. But I think with this perspective, you see there's movement and process in it.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And also, consciousness is your karma. Where did you hear that before?
That's what Conrad told me. He said, you're the type of person that has to be conscious. I am. I wanted to know why I was sick. I wanted to know what I had to do with it. What was I doing that was hurting my body?
Mm-hmm.
And so my whole life I've been in a search for this kind of truth.
A journey for the truth.
Mm-hmm. It's my truth. It isn't the truth.
Well, why is Mary Magdalene influence, is her influence becoming widespread right now? Because it is growing.
Well, I think just thinking on my feet, the Christ has been crucified in terms of churches, people are not even going anymore. Maybe the church needs some revision and some reframing of some things. I don't know exactly, but I think she's a helpmate for that, for the rediscovery of new vision and new life. Because you can't kill Christ, not really. The body you could kill, but not the spirit of Christ. So in touching her, I think you can, it leads you to him or to the Christ spirit, which can bring forth new life and resurrection from where we are right now.
Well, on the one of the things that really touched me deeply, you spent some time in South France, and you went to the well-known Rennes Le Chateau.
Yeah.
Tell us about this place and some of the extraordinary things that have happened in and around it.
Well, they have different stories. I don't know, some of them are stories and probably some are just made-up stories and maybe are make-believe stories. But the story is that Mary and Jesus were married, and this priest in Rene Chateau, he knew the secret, so he kept telling the church, that they were married, and they kept paying him off, and it supported his little church.
Pretty well it supported them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was really something to be there. I mean, the owner, we talked to him, and he said it was, they couldn't imagine that he had been married. And for some reason, it was known by this priest. I don't know. I don't remember the story of how he was supposed to have found out that information, but he had it. So we went there. It was really quite an experience.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I believe he... this may be wrong. He removed it or found it accidentally inside a piece of wood.
I've forgotten that part. You know, that's true. I think there was some, he discovered something.
Yeah,
I don't remember the story, that part of the story, but, and then he went to Rome and he said, blackmailed them.
That's right, he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he got away with it.
they got away with a lot of things, you know.
I know, but this is an amazing situation to blackmail the Roman Catholic Church to get. He had to go back many times to get all the money from them, and he lived pretty well. But he was also a very dedicated soul. He was not a person just taking advantage of the situation here.
No, I don't think so.
No, not really. No, you're right. You're right.
No.
So when you take a look at Mary Magdalene, you touch on describe her as primordial energy like Sophia.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about that, please?
Well, she's wisdom. She's a wisdom woman.
Right.
She represents the process of going through processes in your life where wisdom is born. It comes out of suffering. It comes out of hardship. None of us get a free lunch or easy lives don't have a lot of wisdom. So, and she, you know, she has access. It's actually through her that I connected to Christ more definitely, differently. Because he became a beloved rather than just an icon. It was a different experience for me. I mean, that's what happened to me. And I think many artists are like that, because many artists are very Neptunian, and they love to be the romance of something.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And that helps them with their art and with their healing or whatever it is that they're doing. So... but for me, she represents a passion in me. I mean, I feel that kind of passion when I think about the Statue of Liberty.
So do I.
There's a passion that comes up in me that is stronger than... I'm just overwhelmed by it.
And that's one of the reasons why Laura Kortner and myself worked so hard on this book for 5.5 years dealing... with our passion for liberty and what she means to the world, because around the rest of the world there are many statues of liberty now.
Are there?
Yes, there are hundreds.
I don't know that.
And you even got one in China, as they say in Balmer, China.
And is that so?
Yes, the Statue of Liberty is loved worldwide. And this is why it's just amazing to me that the extreme right on this country hate her to the point where they desire to disassemble her and toss her into the ocean to get rid of her. Now, these are some of the teachers of Sarah Palin.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. No. No, Sarah Palin is one of those individuals who basically is very much tied into... There was a film called Jesus School, which really gave us an insight into these extreme right Christians who actually start training children to become militaristic and assigning them... In kind of like children, well, they try to basically teach them how to become soldiers for Christ when they're very young. And unfortunately, the media pays no attention to it, but it has grown out of control to the point where today we have a Donald Trump who skirts all of these issues, and yet the media cannot handle him because they have refused to take a look at this particular area. Forever since I've listened to the media.
Yeah, well, you know, the media is a problem.
It certainly is.
Now, I mean, and some of the ancient teachings in the Tarot, the media is the devil.
Well, that seems
which only means it tells lies. It doesn't tell.
Oh. How can you say that? they wouldn't lie to us. Right? Well, dear, we're just about out of time. Boy, I certainly, and Sarah, as you probably can't tell that how much I enjoyed your work, but I did. I hid it as much as I could.
It could not make me happier, really.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad I did.
I'm kind of shy to get out there. So anyway, this has been a real lovely experience for me. I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Ditto. Thank you. Hold on.
You gotta spread the word. Tell them what you have.